Welcome to installment 271 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains one commandment, prohibition number 252, the prohibition of einaz dvorim, causing pain or suffering by a verbal statement, in this case particularly to a ger tzedek, a righteous convert. As we have mentioned in the previous shiurim, there are two types of einaz discussed in the Torah regarding any Jew. One is einaz momin, the einaz fraud, which is perpetrated upon a person when you have overcharged them or otherwise taken money in the course of a business transaction. Another type of einaz is einaz dvorim, causing the person distress or mental anguish as a result of a comment you have made. And as we discussed in yesterday's commandment, these same two prohibitions are repeated explicitly regarding a ger tzedek, a person who has converted to Judaism. The Rambam quotes the verse in Exodus, chapter 22, verse 20, the ger leisena. You should not cause anguish to the convert. And as the verse continues, the leisil chatzenu, you should not oppress him. And the Rambam quotes the Mechilta that the first part of the verse comes to tell you the prohibition of einaz dvorim, that you cannot cause mental anguish or distress to the convert. The second half, Leisil Chatzenu, teaches us we are not allowed to cheat him financially, as we discussed in Prohibition 253. Why is it that we need a separate prohibition for the convert? Once a person has converted to Judaism, they are automatically called Jewish, and they would be already protected by the general prohibition against einaz dvorim. The Rambam tells us in Prohibition 253, which applies to today's commandment as well, that the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us the verse was repeated, or the prohibition was repeated by a convert to make the person who was transgressed guilty of two prohibitions. One, the general prohibition against causing mental anguish, and secondly, a specific prohibition against causing mental anguish to a convert, showing us the seriousness of this offense. More so, it's repeated another time in the book of Leviticus that Rambam tells us. Chapter 19, verse 33, Laisenu, I say, that you are not allowed to cause him distress. Therefore, we see the seriousness of this prohibition. As Rambam brings the example from Sifra, we cannot tell a ger, look at you, just yesterday you were an idol worshiper, and now look how fortunate you are. Nichnasta tachas kanfei shechina, that you've been brought under the wings of the divine presence in the fold of Judaism. Reminding a person of his past in that way, that he used to be an idol worshiper, is causing him mental distress, and we must be especially careful not to cause it to him, as we discussed the reasons yesterday given in Sefer Achinuch. The Rambam tells us in his legal code that the truth is that not only are there two prohibitions involved, should you make such a comment to a convert, you are actually violating three prohibitions. That the Torah uses the same expression regarding the prohibition of einaz by any Jewish person, that there's einaz dvorim and einaz momin. Why is the same word used if one of them involves financial cheating and the other one involves causing mental anguish with a verbal statement? This similar expression comes to tell you that both prohibitions will be applied to this person. Should someone make a comment which would cause pain to the convert, he will be violating, first of all, this prohibition 252 against causing anguish to the convert. In addition, he will be violating the prohibition against causing anguish to any Jew, since this convert is just like any Jew. In addition, he will even be punished as if he has transgressed the prohibition against taking money from another Jew. Since the same expression is used there, the same thing applies over here, and therefore you will get a total of three prohibitions. Our sages remind us why we should be so careful not to cause, to verbally cause anguish to the convert. And they remind us that we ourselves are all essentially descendants from converts. The entire Jewish people all had to convert at the times of Matan Torah. That even though we normally say that Abraham was the first Jew, he nevertheless was not Jewish in the same way as the generation of Mount Sinai was Jewish. There was no such concept, there was no such existence in the world of a Jew as it exists today before Mount Sinai. This is something which first came into existence then. Therefore, although Abraham did have a special neshama and had a Jewish neshama, nevertheless, it was not the same thing as the neshama we have today. We have, in a way, a deeper connection with Hashem. As we say, Ata v'chartonu mikol lo'amim, that we have been chosen among all the nations. That God has singled us out from the nations, not only on a spiritual level, but on a physical level as well. That He has chosen us on the level of the physical body. Because when it comes to choice, choice only makes sense that we have been chosen when two things are comparable. If there is such a thing as a Jewish soul, and then someone that does not have a Jewish soul, there's no sense of choosing between the two. This is not choice, it's two different things. The idea of bechira in Judaism is choice between two things which are similar, or even exactly the same. And on the spiritual level, that doesn't apply. Where was the choice of the Jewish people? We were chosen even in our physical bodies, that the physical body was elevated and made into a different Messias, a different existence. And when did this truly happen? Only at the times of Mount Sinai, when all of the Jewish people were given this special spiritual level as a result of their conversion at Mount Sinai. Therefore, our sages say, Mum shebach lisemel lechavercha. This thing which you have, don't mention to your neighbor. How can you remind him that he is a convert? You should remember that you are also a convert. This is nothing to be ashamed of. As a matter of fact, this is only expressing the maila, the tremendous quality of a person, that they have come out of their previous state, just as the entire Jewish people did when they converted to Mount Sinai and attained this elevated spiritual level. So too, the person who has converted also has achieved this high spiritual level. As the Rambam explains in his famed answer to Rabbi Avadia Ger, that he is not only a child of the patriarchs like any Jew, but he's a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's a child of Hashem himself, and has a direct connection and a direct link with God himself. There are many famous stories of converts throughout Jewish history. One of the stories which is not as well known is that given in the Sefer Seder HaDeides about the famous Greek philosopher Aristotle, who towards the end of his life converted to Judaism. As Aristotle himself writes, that he had contact with Shimon HaTzadik, the same Shimon HaTzadik who was described in Pirkei Avos as being the last of the generation of the men of the great assembly, Anshei Knesset HaGdela. And Shimon HaTzadik eventually convinced him of the errors of his ways regarding the creation of the world and so on. And Aristotle's prize student was Alexander the Great. And in a famous letter brought there in Seder HaDeides, Aristotle describes to Alexander the Great his regret for everything he wrote, which contradicts Judaism, and describes how he himself has converted and embraced the ways of Judaism. Why is it this did not become publicized? We can see this from the letter of Aristotle himself that he wrote to Alexander the Great. Why, says Aristotle, did he wait so long to write, since he said he was writing it just before he was about to die, since he knew that Alexander, as well as the entire culture, who had built themselves up based on the writings of Greek philosophy and the ideas of Greek philosophers, especially Aristotle, would not tolerate his complete rejection, as he himself writes there that if he could only burn up every manuscript and every page he had ever written. And he says that he will have to endure an eternal punishment for the things that he wrote. Therefore, we see, even at his own time, to his own student, Aristotle was afraid of breaking the news. Certainly, this news was not spread by Alexander, since this would mean a total reorganization and reorientation of the entire society of the time. Nevertheless, it has been recorded in Jewish writings, and even in secular histories, contact between the Jewish philosophers, the Jewish sages, and Lahavdil, the non-Jewish philosophers of the time, is mentioned in many an accurate account of this sort. A little thought will make it clear to us the tremendous struggle that any convert has to go to leave his family and to leave his previous environment completely, to become a Jew. And especially before he converted to Judaism, al pi halacha, he did not have a Jewish neshama. Only after he converts does he get the Jewish neshama. Of course, with a non-halacha conversion, the person remains the same non-Jew as they were before, completely unchanged, except perhaps a few hundred or even more, a large number of dollars, poorer than before they went through the quote-unquote conversion process. However, once the conversion has been done according to halacha, the person is endowed with the nefesh elokis. Hashem gives the person a Jewish neshama. Before, the person made this choice even without the benefit of a neshama. And therefore, we can see the tremendous level of this person. It could be compared in a way to Avram, that Abraham himself discovered Judaism, the Rambam tells us, discovered the existence of Hashem, of the one God in the world, completely on his own. Even though later on, we are told, he studied with Noah and with other sages who explained to him about the existence of God. But even at the age of three, he himself recognized the necessity of a belief in one God. And so too, a convert without the benefit of a Jewish soul also comes to a recognition on his own of the necessity of the truth of Judaism. And this is one of the reasons, as the Rambam explains in a tshuva, that a ger, a convert, is allowed to say in his blessings, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, God and God of our fathers, which seems to be a non-truth. How could he say God of his fathers when his fathers were not Jewish? How could he be speaking in such terms when his fathers were worshipping idols? But the Rambam explains that all gerim trace back to Avram Avinu. They all trace back to Abraham. Therefore, they are able to say, God of our fathers, referring to who? Referring to Abraham, since they have this deep link all the way back, that they are similar to Abraham in the searchings they've gone through, and therefore deserve the utmost respect, and certainly not chas v'sholem, any verbal discomfort or any mental anguish that they might be caused. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.